The following programming is sponsored by Mark J. Bernstein. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group. Entrepreneur, author, and financial consultant Mark Bernstein helps high-performing entrepreneurial business owners create a vision for the future and follow through on their goals and intentions. Ange Honorato is a business growth strategist who blends psychology and business together to create conscious leaders and business owners who impact the world. Founders Forum is a radio show podcast sharing the real stories behind entrepreneurship as founders discover more about themselves while providing valuable lessons and some fun and entertainment for you. Now, here's Mark and Ange.
Good morning, America. How are you? It's another beautiful sunny day because it's always sunny in Philadelphia, except for some days, a lot of recent days. And speaking of Philadelphia, how about them Phillies? We're going to talk about that in a minute. And how about them Yankees, to be fair to our guest today? And also, so I was thinking about the topic today, and Howard, you're going to meet Howard Gutman in a few minutes. I'm going to give you his full introduction, but he's very well known in the world of business, especially big business, in terms as an entrepreneur who has a consulting company who does a lot of work with leadership in big business. And small business, but especially has been big corporations. And I was thinking about leadership this morning as I was watching the morning news shows, you know, and I flip channels between the red shows and the blue shows and the supposedly independent shows and all that. And politics aside, I was thinking about the concept that when you look at a leader and you're going to vote for a leader and use your vote for a leader, whether it's president, whether it's Congress, whether it's Senate, whether it's governor, whether it's, you know, your state rep or whatever, how much do you know about their team? Because one of the things we're going to learn, at least in business, is that leaders are generally only as good as their teams, or and which comes first, the chicken or the egg, which Howard can talk about. But, you know, leaders need to be with good teams and good teams need to be with leaders. And having that in mind, I wanted to get your opinions on that. Whether, Ange, you ever think about this, or what do you think about the idea when you vote for someone, also look at the teams that they have? I know I was active in bipartisan politics for a while and got to meet a lot of the teams of the candidates, congressional candidates. And I began to be able to tell there's one very ineffective congressman from Philadelphia that I won't mention that. And when I looked at his team, I recognized, I understand why that was. And maybe because he picked a bad team or maybe because he didn't have the team behind him to brief him before he came into the meeting in which he made a mess of himself. So, you know, it taught me something about looking at the teams behind the candidates. What are your thoughts on that, Ange?
Well, you know, it's obviously one of my favorite topics, right? Because as a conscious leadership facilitator, but for me, my view on this, Mark, is that, you know, for 30 years, I've been working in the leadership space in the corporate arena. And there's a very particular thing that our clients have asked us all the time, you know, what's a leader? How do they build a team? How do they pick a team? The importance of not just the bottom line, but everything in a corporate environment. And yet I think we lose that perspective a lot when we're thinking about who do we vote for? I think it becomes this very, you know, single focus in terms of the candidate. But the point that you're raising from my perspective is the things that are allowed or that people view when they choose a candidate to vote for would never even fly when we think of other environments, you know, the military, sports teams, the corporate arena. How you approach your team and how you lead it and how you pick them and how you surround yourself with the right team, it's just imperative. So I think it's a really important topic and one that's probably more than a 5-minute conversation. So I'm excited to have the conversation today and hear, you know, our guest thoughts on that as well.
I'm sure we could have a very long conversation about it, but I got from that maybe we don't look enough of that when it comes to political leaders. Howard's, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, a high performing team is a team of leaders. And in fact, many times it's difficult to tell who the leader is because everyone's coming from a powerful place. Politics ain't that. I see it tend to be the other way around.
Good point.
Where you tend to be surrounded by these acolytes, yes, people. And so consequently, you know, I think of a high performing or horizontal team is a very empowered group of people. I don't necessarily see politics reflecting that.
When you said that, I immediately, we talked about this before, but it just occurred to me now when you said that, the show Veep, if anyone ever saw that show Veep, which is a very funny show, but it's exactly that. It's like befuddled leaders surrounded by even more befuddled staff.
In many exactly. Yeah, so exactly. But I will tell you honestly that even when we work in certain organizations or certain sectors, even like the nonprofit world, you have people that tend to be very mission-driven, values-driven. That says nada regarding their capacity to lead.
Right. Right. Great point.
So when you look at the pantheon of industries out there and sectors, probably the most three dysfunctional sectors would be nonprofits, higher education, and the most would be government. Because The people who get the jobs aren't necessarily the best people. They're people who are appointed. So it's ironic when you think about the fact that how people are educated, how people are governed are the two most dysfunctional sectors in our country. It's an interesting message.
Well, we're not getting political, but if you look at what's going on the college campuses right now and how the universities are dealing with it, it's a great example of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, hey, let me introduce Howard. So Howard M. Gutman is principal of Gutman Development Strategies, an organizational development firm that's been in existence for over 35 years, serving clients around the world. Their focus is on developing high-performance teams, executive coaching, and leadership development. Howard is also an author and has written many books, and you can find them all over Amazon. He spoke to a manufacturing group that I lead, the Manufacturers Forward Focus Forum, recently, and they actually was request by my team to by my group to have one of his books. So I bought them Great Business Teams because I thought in light of what we were talking about, that would be the great one. It's called Great Business Teams, Cracking the Code for Standout Performance by Howard M. Gutman. And I just started reading it this morning, and the first thing I read was the preface, and it caught my attention because he references my Philadelphia Phillies, our Philadelphia Phillies, Ange. And he gives a great example, and I actually remember this. It was in 2007, and they had a particular pitcher. I won't embarrass him, but he had a terrible performance, and he basically walked out, and he said, well, for the most part, I was happy with the way I threw the ball. And Howard gives us a great example of not being good leadership, which I agreed with, and I think the Phillies got rid of him either that year or the next year. Howard's not a fan of the Phillies. I am a fan of his team, the Yankees, but that's my number two team, and I have to tell you that I think both, at least by their records right now, they're the number one Phillies in the Major League and number two Yankees in the Major League performers right now. So you have to think there's some good things going on with their leadership. So with that, I introduce Howard Gutman to you. You can comment on that if you'd like, but I want you to tell us a little bit about your story also and how you got started in your business and your journey.
Sure. Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
We're happy to have you.
Yeah. The way I got started really in the field is when I got into the field of management development at ADP, Automatic Data Processing, I fortunately had a mentor by the name of Bernie Kessler, who believed that the best way to be a consultant inside was to do external work. So that would never happen today. So at the time, in my late 20s, I was doing external consulting work. And immediately, like, the bell rang and I went, wow, I love this. So from that time, which was 1980 through 1989, by the time I had left Johnson & Johnson, I had built up a sizable outside consulting business. So by the time I left J&J, I was making more money outside than I was inside. And then I pulled the trigger and started GDS. So, you know, essentially, I took a very conservative path of almost a decade of building up a business before I decided to take the leap. Whereas many people, some of which I help, when they tend to make the leap to external consulting, they don't do enough due diligence or prep prior. And they jump into the water with like one or two clients and they die on the vine. So,
well, that's a different great story because a lot of people here, including our guest this morning, a lot of them, it's you know, mother necessity is the mother of invention. You know, they get to a point where they have to start this business. They have to go forward or they're going to go backward. And they do it on a shoestring and they do it. So that's a different story. And I love that. And I love that you had Bernie Kessler as a mentor and somebody that could point you in that direction. I'm sure that wasn't ultimately his intention to have you leave the company.
No, it wasn't his intention. But by the time I went to J&J, I basically said to him, look, I'd like to keep doing external consulting. I would do it, obviously, not with competitors like Procter & Gamble or Kimberly-Clark, but I'd like to do it in my vacation time, comp time. Would that be okay? And they said, sure. Now, again, that's not kind of the world we live in today.
Right.
It was a different time. But right. However you want to slice it, I was fortunate enough to have people that I worked for in the corporate world who allowed me to pursue my vision. And as I said, it was almost a 10-year cycle of building this thing before I took the leap. So by the time I took the leap, I was jumping off maybe a half a rung on a ladder versus jumping from 5 feet.
Right. So you weren't. So it wasn't a difficult transition, but there was a lot of hard work that went in for 10 years to build yourself to that transition.
Yeah, but it was. But where it was difficult is psychologically. Mm. When I left and I was sitting there, and I said, "Okay, now what?" So. It was a different ballgame being Howard Gutman, corporate director of human resources for Johnson & Johnson. I mean, I had like that was a huge moniker behind me.
Right.
Going to Howard Gutman of Gutman Development, like, what the hell is that? So psychologically, it felt much more, I felt real naked going out there without J&J behind me.
And just shaking her head because I know she's going through some similar things.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, very much. Well, you know, Howard, I think what you're talking about is, like Mark said, a lot of our founders, you know, may have had some pivotal moment that made them kind of take that leap. But I think whether you've built it up over a number of years or you know, the day that you do, the safety net is still gone, right? Whether it's 10 years or not. And I think what we're excited to hear more from you today is when you did take that leap and, you know, not having that safety net of the, let's just say the standard paycheck and the support and the resources behind you, you know, tell us a little bit about from that moment, how did you start to build and scale and build that sustainable, repeatable, reliable business once you, you know, kind of hung your own shingle?
Yeah. Well, I had three things going for me. One is that I had a cadre of friends in different corporations in the field who I would not ghost project manager, but I would deploy them to work in different companies doing basically what I did. It was like a Model T Ford version of what we do now. And then I had my wife, and my wife was totally supportive. And basically I was the outside guy and she was the inside gal. And to this day, she's still the CEO of the company. So she was my partner. And having her as a partner and having her handle the administrative or the internal, it, you know, you immediately had a trust and a support. So that was a huge advantage to me.
Yeah. In fact, in your preface, you thank your wife and your small team around you, including Peter Tobia, who's online with us today. And I know that's the importance of your internal team has been a big strength of yours.
Yeah, GDS, this model is a very, very unusual model. I actually don't know another model like it whereby the internal staff are all internal staff and they're full time. And then all the consultants, everybody else is all 1099. Mm-hmm. And so it's very, very difficult to start a company and have everybody to be 1099. So we have about 25 people in the organization. And whether it be the consultants, marketing, the printers, the financial people, the legal people, whatever it is, you know, other than, again, the 5-6 internal staff, it's all a trust game. And I've had people with me for 20 years, 25 years. We also have new people as well. But the thing that makes this tricky is in the end, GDS or Government Development Strategies is a well-known brand in the field of management and organization development. The challenge is, if you go and start your own gig, is how do you get people to follow? Why would another individual follow somebody else's moniker? So when I look back at the whole thing, the reality is it's really like the magic of a brand. It was really creating a brand that people would choose to follow. And now it exists out there, separate from me, because frankly, I don't know 80% of our clients, or even more, which is the goal of having a high performance organization. So I guess the point I'm saying is that, when you think about creating an entity, it's like, how do you establish a brand that will live separate from you? That's the key to the game. And even though my name is on the door, which presents challenges at times, my emphasis is always about how do I, every time gigs come up, how do I delegate? How do I move that around and not have it be about me?
So that sounds like one of your challenges. You've had others along the way. I'm sorry, Angela, I'll let you take it in for
That's
that.
good. Oh.
Oh, yeah, but absolutely, we've had challenges. It's like, look, when I think about the organization today, we live as a high performance team. Transparency, having each other's back. We don't allow schmucks in the organization.
No
But
schmucks.
I have had times, just like anybody, where, sometimes you have to off people if they don't play, if they don't re represent the values. So I say probably the biggest mistake I made early on was I had this very, very naive notion that what could be better than to work with family and friends? Now, the fact is that would be great if they share your level of accountability. And in fact, I've been fortunate to have family and friends who have. But in the end, I would say the most challenging aspect has been finding players who espouse these values, who live them, where you can have a strong degree of trust. So we do a very, very rigorous job in terms of validating new players. Right now, we're going through that process of interviewing three people. We want to get at least one, maybe two, and making sure they have the right value set and the right mindset is crucial
I
beyond
think
their
you're
technical skills, obviously.
absolutely. Well, I think this is a great, great discussion and point for us to take a moment. I know we need to take a break here for a second. But when we come back, Howard, I want to talk to you a little bit more about a couple things you just mentioned there in terms of leadership and kind of driving the business forward. So why don't we take a break and pick right back up with that?
Since 2010, Multifunding has helped businesses achieve their biggest growth goals through creative and personalized funding solutions, including SBA loans and other funding options. Our team works with entrepreneurs to expand their businesses in ways they never thought possible. We leverage our relationships with hundreds of lenders across the country to find you the very best business loan available. Benefit from our team's diverse experience and robust network to fund your next great idea, create wealth, build a legacy, and make a measurable impact. Call or email us for a free consultation at 800-276-0690 or info@multifunding.com. Everyone has a story. We want to hear yours.
So we're back on Founders Forum with Howard Gutman, and we were talking just before the break, Howard, about a couple things that you mentioned. And I know we're kind of nearing, we don't have a lot of time on this podcast, but I want to touch on two different things and a two-part question. So you mentioned the fact that having the right kind of team around you and having people want to stay on board with you, even as 1099, people for over 20 years, says a lot about your leadership in that. But I'm curious about two things. One is, you mentioned not being as close to your clients, and that's the testament of a well-run organization, right? So that it's running even without maybe your direct hands and a lot of things. And that reminds me of the John Warlow value builder approach. If you're familiar, I'm sure you probably are. So tell me a little bit about how you do that. How do you set the business to run effectively, even if you're not involved in all the day-to-day or even all the client side? And then second part of that is, how have you built that trust with the people that are your consultants that do run that and provide that same level of service that really that you embody when you founded the company?
So we as a firm, we meet quarterly. People fly in, et cetera. Then we also have an addition and offsite. And additionally, we have like a holiday party. So everybody's together about six times a year. And we run on an account management system. We have over 50 client companies, and everybody manages a particular account. And the way we have it set up from a compensation standpoint is that in addition to people making their per diem, they're also comped in terms of opening up a door, even if they don't close it. So basically what we're doing is people are constantly deploying one another. Sometimes they're a deployer. Sometimes they're being deployed. So there's nothing in it for anybody to screw somebody else. Everybody's got to have one another's back to make this system work. So in order to engender that level of trust, like right now, again, interviewing people, Peter's involved, my wife Jackie, who's the CEO, is involved, three or four other consultants are involved, and then we determine, can they be a player? So I don't make unilateral calls. Just like a high-performing team, I make consultative calls. I solicit input. Even though I have positional authority, the reality is that I'd rather not use it if I don't have to. So we live by the principles of a high-performing team, and it's consultative decision-making. So by virtue of that, we're able to attract very successful independents who want to work under a brand and leverage a small army, because Howard Gutman can't compete with Gutman Development. So there aren't that many companies out there that have our scale, which is why we can get lots of gigs, or even in something like executive coaching. If somebody's working in a client company A and they're doing coaching and somebody said, well, I'd love you to also work with this other team, they'll more likely say, well, you know, it'd be better to have a firewall. Let me introduce you to a couple other people. That's not what a one-man or a woman band does. Usually they're coming from a scarcity place. So, okay, great, I'll take that one too. So we can play a very high level of professionalism. And we can also, if we don't have a client, we can walk away. So we have a certain degree of screw you power. So the issue of creating an atmosphere of trust whereby when we deploy people, it's first around, do they have the skill? The second is obviously, do they have a relationship fit? Should it be a man? Should it be a woman? Should it be somebody white? Should it be of color? Should it be straight? Should it be, I mean, relationships make the game. And then finally, the third is, are they easy to work with? Can it be an instant home run? So there is not usually a day or two that goes by that we're not getting into deployment conversations because gigs come up all the time.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I know we're going to get into our closing round in a minute, but just a footnote to that. So, you know, for the last 30 years, you've really built this extreme model that is very different. How are you preparing to your teams now to address really the 21st century leader? You know, as we move forward in the future of work, how are you addressing some of those active needs right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. One of the things that we've been doing is where we've kind of pivoted is I'm trying to have lots and lots of baskets rather than focus like, here's the Fortune 100 company, let me try to own that company. Lots of baskets. So we're trying to go for width versus depth, because you'll survive easier that way.
Horizontal growth versus vertical.
Spending a lot of time working with private equity companies, because private equity has become a big part of our portfolio, which is great. And they love us because they play for real, we play for real. So they're real simpatico with who we are. And thirdly, even in terms of the people we're interviewing now, we're looking for people who psychologically really want to own this company. So from a biz dev standpoint, that they like it. Whereas in the past, I have always been like the rainmaker. I am the rainmaker. But that's not a sustainable game. So I need to get people who are better in biz dev. And that's something that we're actually focusing a lot on right now.
So that leads to my question, but you may have just answered it. Your one-year vision, where you see yourself and the company a year from now.
Well, the goal is obviously to expand the breadth. So it's new clients.
Yep.
We are looking for new players, some youth, younger players. One thing we're doing that's dramatic is that we're not renewing our lease for the first time in like 15 years. We have beautiful offices, but we're not going to renew our lease. And instead, we're going to repurpose. My wife has a farm, repurposed the farmhouse and use that as offices, which is very exciting. So it's really like a new chapter in the organization. I mean, look, I'm never going to retire. This work is like my mission in life. I really love it. And so what I'm trying to do is surround it with people that also love it and believe in it and have a passion for it, who also don't want to retire. Because why would you retire if you really enjoy what you're doing?
Right.
Which is why I would tell you, if you know anybody in the field of management, organization, development, coaching, whatever it is who you think are sharp, send them my way and I'd love to have a conversation.
I think you and Ann should have a conversation, but that's another topic for another day.
So. I'd be glad, Ann, to have that
in the
conversation
wheelhouse.
Okay.
Absolutely.
A couple quick things because we're almost out of time, which is what happens on this show. But, Howard, what do you like to do outside of work? I know you have a passion for work. A passion for anything else?
Yeah, I'm one of these obsessive workout people. So since I've been a teen, I work out every single day for about an hour to 90 minutes in terms of cardio, weightlifting. I mean, I do it every day. I'm about 6 pounds more than when I competed in college sports.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I'm an avid biker. And now with the weather being nice, I'm into boating and wave running. So I'm going to go out with my nephew and a friend of his. We'll go boating today. It'll be my first trip because the weather's been lousy.
Yep.
And I like, big with old movies like Turner Classic. And I love cars. I have a variety of cars. So I like to play.
That one
but,
is.
And have not a lot of separation between work and play. So doing this now, to me, is fun. And I'm going to go on the boat. That'll be fun. So I try not to, I don't think of it like I work and then I play. So for me, weekdays, weekends, it doesn't really matter to me. I try to have my life be somewhat of a blur, you know, without large separations between work and play.
Well, it's been fun to have you on. One last question. What are your thoughts about your legacy? Because you've built something really incredible. What do you think about that?
I'd say, one, on a practical level, I think I've created organization development products and services that people can really understand and purchase, like they get it. So I think I've contributed to the field in that way because they're known and they're accessible and they exist. The third is I feel like, you know, myself and a lot of the people in the company have done a lot of personal growth work. So I feel like we've impacted people well beyond the corporate sector in terms of impacting people's lives. So I feel like the legacy, you know, we've had an impact here in shaping lives and corporate cultures, which is something I really appreciate. I don't take it for granted.
Sure sounds that way. And we can tell, you know, I joked with you when I first met you. The show I think of when I think of consulting companies is House of Cards, the Don Cheadle show from a number of years back. And
right.
you guys do all the right things that they talk about, but you're obviously not full of crap. You're straight shooters. And I found that out very quickly about you. And so with that, you have to be impacting people's lives and certainly the lives of companies. Howard, it's been great to have you here today. We thank you for being here. It's an amazing show. And thank you all for listening. And we'll see you next week on Founders Forum.
Thank you.